Let's just start with a couple of scriptures just to set the foundation for this. And I'm turning to it, even though all of us possibly in this room, most of us anyway, would probably have heard this before, because it is one of the most well-known scriptures in the Bible. But as we've said many, many times, it's the least understood, probably. John 3:16. For God so loved the world. In other words, what that is saying is, God loved this world. He loved such as you and me so much. Now, when we see all the things going on around us and the challenges that we have every day, we find, and when we look at what we've come from and our background, we find it hard to comprehend this. Where it then goes on to say that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And I want it to start from that point this morning of us actually coming back to this realization of how much he loves us. And as I've said many, many times, 1,000 years from now, you will still be getting a revelation of how much love God has for you and I. And we can flip over that. He gave his only begotten Son. Yeah, but you're talking about giving him to die for us on a cross that was the most inhuman ways in which a person could die. It was where human beings had actually mastered the art, if you like, of protracting suffering and death. First of all, the whipping of him. He'd had the crown of thorns shoved on his head. We're not talking about thorns from your thorn bushes. We're talking about really big things that, I mean, are like 4-inch nails or 6-inch nails or whatever. I'm not sure how big they are, but they're big. And they were pushed down into his head. And then when he went up that hill, they nail him to that cross. And they hang there in the sun for hours, to these people on these crosses. But he allows him to go through that as a demonstration of his love for such as you and me. Now, as I've said to you, when we see the suffering around us, we think to ourselves, hang on a minute. We see so much pain in society. We see so much hurt. And one of the reasons that we're doing this healing is that we can actually get into more of an understanding of what's going on here. You know, some people would say, I see so much suffering, so I ain't going to believe that. But we're coming from a place of actually saying, we believe that. What's going wrong? Where we believe that, Lord, we want to know more. We want to understand. We hear about healings around the world. We hear about this and that going on. Why can't it happen here? But it might be that we might have to let go of some of our old thinking. It might be that we have to let go of some of our set ways. On 29th of January last year, that's 2018, I felt the Lord speak to me from Luke 13 when the leader of the synagogue got upset about Jesus healing on the Sabbath. And here's this woman suffering for 18 years. Now, religion had said when she comes to church, let's say, you can't do anything like that. Their theology said you can't do anything. So one of the reasons why it might be that, have you thought that, it might be that we are actually maybe stuck in our ways of thinking. Let's come before God and let Him speak to us. One thing I liked about what they say at Bill Johnson's church is this, that and they say this to the students, and they have something like 1,000 students a year going through their ministry school. And they say to them right at the beginning, they say, look, we are going to bring through the course of the next year, because I think you go for 3 years, but they say, right, over the next year, you're actually going to see a lot of speakers come in here and speak to you, and we do not agree with their theology, some of them. But we want to give you the facts. We want you to hear what they have to say. Because too often we've actually been so set in our ways of thinking that I believe it's actually closed us down often. From, you know, in other words, we become unteachable by God. We become unteachable. He can't teach us anymore because we think that we know. We know everything. But we don't. You'll still be getting revelation on this thousands of years from now. You'll still be learning more about Him and His heart for you. And so I don't want us to be closed down. It might be that when we do these healing meetings in September and the ones that we're doing at 7 p.m. on a Sunday evening, I'm probably going to have people come in here that I'm not so sure that maybe we will agree with them. But it might be people who are actually seeing more than what we will see, we've seen. And I'm not closed down to them actually coming. I'm prepared to hear them. If they're seeing more than me, I want to know why. Is there something within there that we're missing? You know, God gives revelation to various peoples, and He's done that down through history. And the problem is, quite often the established churches are so set in their ways that they don't move to respond to what God is now bringing. And so therefore, history has proved that what happens is you just set up a new denomination. Isn't that right? Any of you studied church history, you know exactly that is what's happened. And so that's what we're going to do, and that's what we're going to pursue. Because we want to stir it up. And we don't want any more loved ones going on too early. We don't want it. Does that mean that we rule out what the medical profession provide? No, we don't. God will use the hands of these doctors to bring us healing and bring restoration to our bodies. However it comes, we're open to it and we want it to happen. Amen? Amen. Why? Because He loves us. The way we care for our children, we haven't got a closed shop on it, you know. You know, that's just a tiny little bit. When you see, I've been watching the seagulls. okay? You know, they're a pest at times. I mean, you know, a lot of people are wanting to cull them, aren't they? You know, because, they, you know, kids come out of the, you know, McDonald's and what have you, and they grab their, what is it, burger and things like that and frighten the children. And there's that many of them now. And if you sit out in the restaurants, they'll come down into... But anyway, I've been watching them. And how they're caring for their young before they start to fly. And I tell you what, those young are so vulnerable at that time. You know, if they fall to the ground and they can't fly, I mean, you know, that's going to be a meal for some animal, isn't it? But if pigeons come round and the rooks come round, do you want to see the, what is it, seagulls go for them? I mean, they're flying at them and they're protecting them. You know, and that reminds me of the heart of God, how he is with you and me. When Adam and Eve fell, he put a plan in place. He had a plan in place. He didn't just wipe out mankind and start all over again. He knew it were going to be a massive cost for him to give up the best thing he had, the most loving thing of his heart for mankind. And he set it in place that those prior to the cross looked towards it and put hope in it. And put their faith in it, put their trust in it. And us, since the cross, have actually put our hope and our trust in it. Amen? Is that right? And it comes out of this compassion, this very heart of God. I read in the scriptures, you know, the three accounts when he heals a leper. And each one of the accounts of it are very different. But I believe they're all true. He talks about where the leper comes and worships him. Another one where he comes and throws himself on the floor. Well, when you read the whole three, you get the picture of the very heart of God. I believe that Jesus got down in the dirt with him. And held him. I mean, if Frank were to lay down on the floor here and he was prostrate on the floor there, I'd have to at least halfway get down there. And you know, lepers in those days, they shouldn't go near anyone. They had this idea that, you know, they were filthy and they shouldn't go near the people. And Jesus starts touching them. And you know something? That did more than just heal their physical bodies. Probably from a little child, their moms and their dads couldn't hold them. If that appeared on their bodies then, imagine, you know, not being able to pick your child up. But even more, imagine what it prints on the heart of the child. So that leper got more than just shiny new skin to that day. He got a healed heart. The pain of that rejection, of people running away from him all the time, whatever he did. If he went round the corner and there were people there, even growing up as a child, you walk round the corner and everybody scatters and runs away from you. I believe his heart was restored from all that just by Jesus holding him. Just by Jesus putting his arms around him. You know, and what we're seeing, I mean, with those seagulls, I mean, is like a little bit like the wild animals when they... like these cheetahs that will run in the face of a lion just to protect their little ones. Some of you have seen this, haven't you, on TV? Where they run towards the lion I mean, just to protect their little ones. Where do you think that came from? Did you think it just was something by accident? Do you think it's something that just mothers have? Do you think it's, you know, just happened by chance that there's a caring and a protective side of that of that mother? He's made you and me like that, that we want to protect our children. Is that right? And you know, we were made in the image of God. Love is not a good idea with him. It's what he is. And he's got loads of names and attributes you can read about from all through the Old Testament. But what he is his love. And if to me, I see loved ones suffering, hurting, and going home to glory too soon, I say to myself, I have got my theology wrong then, maybe. I'm open to learn some more. Because you, as a mother and a father, you would desperately want your loved one healed, wouldn't you? Desperately. Your heart crying out. But what I want to talk to you about this morning, just to take a step on. We've established, and I've talked about it many times, as regards this love, we are meant to be his shop window to this lost and dying world. What was it Dennis DeGrasse said when he was over here? I think he said it in a few meetings to different crowds. He said, you know, he says, do you remember back in the 80s? He said, we used to see a lot more of demons coming out of people and things like that. He says, and you think to yourself, where did them demons go? Did they go into politics? I mean, you know, we laugh about it, but we're in a society today where the Western world in general has never been better off in general than what it's ever been. With modern technology, the availability of things, we've never been as well off. But we've never been as fractured. Now, God's shop window, you and me, are meant to look different. Is that right? We are meant to look different to that fractured world. And at the moment, the world does not see an unfractured situation with the church. Sadly, it's not seeing it. When they see an unfractured situation in the church, where church starts to care for its own, where church starts to support one another and be there for one another, I'll get round to reading the scripture now, all right? Matthew 24 and verse 12. Because of the increase of wickedness. Now, Jesus here is talking about the end times. They'd been asking about, you know, the end and this, that, and the other. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. But he who stands firm to the end will be saved. Do you know something? I personally believe with love, care, compassion for one another, you're going to have to make a stand, because you're going to have to, they're going to think you're stupid out there initially until they see the results of it. Some of the decisions that you and I will make, if we're going to make this stand in love, I'm going to love, I'm going to wash feet. Colossians 3:13. Colossians 3:13. This is something that we, as a church, down through the years, have tried to actually stand with. Verse 13, bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against others. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love. There's a responsibility to you and me to actually put on love. You make your mind up. You make your choices. But I don't feel like it. It doesn't matter what you feel like. If we're going to live in this, we're going to have to make that decision. Put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Now, basically, I stand with that scripture as regards bear each with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have. To me, that says, I've given up the right to take offense. I give up the right to take offense. You might not like what I'm saying this morning to you and what have you, but, you know, we in this church want to live by the fact that I can still not like it, but I refuse the right to take offense. Because I've given up that right. I'm no longer operating in offense. You know, Jesus was a fantastic. I mean, is there not a better word than that? But an incredible example of this. They've just ripped his back with 39 lashes, with pieces of metal and pieces of stone in there to pull the flesh off his back. They're driving the nails into his hands. And he says, Father, forgive them. For they don't know what they're doing. Forgive them. I mean, his body... He hasn't hung there in the sun and the heat of the day. And his bones coming out of joint whilst he's hung there. Because the joints can't carry the weight anymore. He hasn't even got as far as that. But his body is still racked with pain of what these people are doing to him. And he says, Father, forgive him. Forgive them. Can you say that to those that offend you? Can you say that to them this morning? Unless you can, you'll find it hard to receive your healing. You'll find it hard to receive from the hand of God. Because the two of you can't connect. I think of it as a bit like, giving up my age away now. Do you remember in the old days and what have you, when, you know, there was a big boxing match or something like that in America and that, and you were trying to find a signal on the radio? You know, I know it's on one of these channels somewhere or what have you. There's something big going on the other side of the world and you're trying to tune in. With that unforgiveness, you ain't going to tune in with God. You can keep winding that dial as much as you like. You can keep crying out and shouting to God and what have you. And you can't blame God for that. It's a bit like you trying to reach out and love your child that's desperately hurting, and they're the other side of a wall that you can't get to. Because your unforgiveness has put the wall up between you and God. That unforgiveness has created a wall and a barrier between you and God. Amen? You know that, don't you? Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Romans 12:15, it talks about us rejoicing with those who rejoice. And we weep with those who weep. Now, this is not just a suggestion. It's meant to be a way of life. It's meant to be just a way of life. I remember back in the 80s, when we were in like the roots of this church, or one part of it, you know, if one person, one couple in the church were moving house, everybody went round. And they hired a van. You wouldn't have got Pickfords in those days. I mean, you know, forget Pickfords. I mean, you know, we just all go around and hire a van, all have fish and chips at lunchtime together, and we just uplift all this stuff and what have you and move them. I don't see that today. I don't see. We talk about love growing cold. Now, there might be other expressions of it nowadays. There might be other ways in which we can show it, because we're living in a society with a different level of needs. And it might be that we're missing some things. But I still think we should be provoking one another to love and good works. That's what the Bible says. Provoking one another to love and good works. And unless we do, the world is never going to run to the church to try and find the answer. Because they're thinking that, you know, a new car or a new house or a new carpet this morning or a new dress is going to be the answer to their problem today and create some kind of comfort. And it might well do on a, you know, temporarily. But they were built, they were made, they were created by their Creator to give and receive love. And human beings today generally do not know how to communicate and interact in the love in which, in the way in which God intended them to do. Now, I know we can pick up the paper. We can listen to the news. And we can see friends and people around us and some of our relatives from time to time that rise up and what have you and be that love that they were intended to be. And be that compassion. And we've seen it in recent times, both from Christians and non-Christians. But we're not at that place, I'm saying. That's all. Whereby that world is coming running to us to find it. Because in their hearts, they will know that when they see it. It'll be like a compass that flicks to north. You pick the compass, that's north, okay? You can help you find your way home. People will respond to what they think is love, whether it's real or whether it isn't, because it's just like a cow wanting grass. It has to have some grass today and it has to feed. And you and I were made that we would actually connect with love, flow in love, operate in love, and it be what we feed on, that we give and receive. It was meant to receive it from God and give it away. When one of my favorite scriptures I'm in to preach from John 13, when Jesus washed his disciples' feet. You know, here's the Lord of glory. He was taking on a role and showing them and teaching something to them as regards how they care for one another. He was showing them. Now, in those days, I mean, it was the lowest of the low that washed the feet. I mean, you'd maybe have somebody that was uneducated, somebody with learning disabilities or something like that, a slave or whatever. Now, Jesus took that role on that day. He weren't bothered about his image. Sometimes we are troubled by what our image will be if we get so close to somebody to care for them. Forget our image. Forget our image. We're meant to care for one another. We're meant to be there for one another. We're trying to communicate that if the enemy touches one, he's touching all of us. Amen? Yeah. I remember back in the early 80s, I'd just become a Christian. And I found myself unemployed for a short while. But I just made my mind up that, I'd known nothing about Christianity before. I'd come to Christ and you're sitting in church and what have you, you're brand new to Christianity. I just made my mind up. I said, during this period that I am unemployed, I'm going to make the devil hate the day in which I was unemployed. Hate the day. I'm going to do painting for the widows in the church. I'm going to go dig their garden. I'm going to do menial jobs for people, find out who I can help. And then in those days, some of you don't know this, but there was times when you couldn't go to Google. There was a day. I used to go down the library and I used to study, on the life of Wesley and things like that. Get the books out. I could spend time in the Word. I could spend time studying. I make the devil hate the day when I was unemployed. And I weren't long before I got a good job and I got a company car and I was chuffed. And I got enough income out of it to go get a mortgage. Amen? It's caring for one another. It's just doing what God made us to do anyway. Find somebody to help today. Find somebody to bless. Amen?